Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And here we go.
And that's the sound of rock cracking right here into August. I'm telling you, August is here. That means we got September, October, boom, and then the election. So a lot going on. This is Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You're listening to us on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net. Glad to have you. Listeners for a long time know we cover conservative politics. We got a lot of new listeners since we've put up some updates on the Republican National Convention. We like everyone tuning in. Tell your friends and neighbors about Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Every week we bring you a new exciting show, and this is one of the most exciting shows because we got some exclusive clips for Rock Splitting Politics. Doc Holliday's on the floor of the Republican National Convention as a delegate from Mississippi. So I got to walk the floor some and run into some people, and we're going to have some exclusive clips coming up in this show from one from General Flynn. You know, he was on the VP shortlist for Donald Trump. And if you don't remember, Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, he was forced out of his post by the Obama administration in 2014. And why was he forced out? Because he pointed out the rising global jihadist threat. Wow. So we got to ask him a question, and then also ran into Newt Gingrich on the floor, get something directly from Newt. Ambassador John Bolton, I asked him a question about Israel, so we're going to play that. And Don King, the boxing promoter, yes, the guy with his hair to stand straight up. We got some interesting comments from him. And then the Senator Jeff Sessions, after the convention was over, after the nomination speech, I ran into Senator Jeff Sessions. You can hear the balloons popping in the background. It's after all the balloons fell. So we'll get his unique perspective. Also, a Congressman Peter King from New York. Got a question or two for him that we'll play. We do have some interesting people coming up, and this is why I'm excited about this show. Glad you're listening to us right here on webtalkradio.net. This is Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We're going to get into this show, but first, also remind you, we on the second half of the show, we'll be talking about the top three highlights. What's Doc Holliday's top three highlights of the Republican National Convention? I'm going to let you know that, tell you about some of the things, what it's like sitting there and going through being a delegate during the week. Also, we have a New York delegate that spoke to me about why he thinks New York can swing over to Donald Trump and beat Hillary in New York. So interesting comments from a couple of New York delegates. So here we go. Rock Splitting Politics kicking it off. Before we get into the interviews, let me play something. This is important for Ted Cruz and John Kasich to listen to this song. It was played on the floor by the band during the week, but take a listen. That's right. For all you people that were behind Ted Cruz and John Kasich, and I was a Ted Cruz guy, but I'm Donald Trump all the way now. And why anybody has trouble trying to decipher between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, it really boggles my mind. But it's just like the Rolling Stones sang, and they played that song on the floor of the convention, probably purposely. The Trump people picked it out. The band played it. You can't always get what you want, but if you try sometime, you just might find you get what you need. And America needs Donald Trump now. We don't need Hillary Clinton. It boggles my mind, like I said, that anybody has a problem trying to decipher between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Some people say, well, I'm going to stay at home. Well, you know what we've said. You're voting for Hillary Clinton if you stay at home. And it is. The blood is on your hands for a future of America if you don't get out and support Donald Trump. Some people are getting mad if I say that. I know some of my conservative friends right now. I picture them in my mind when they hear me say that. The blood is on your hands if you don't vote for Donald Trump. But basically, look, if you love America, Supreme Court justices, we've gone over it before. If nothing else, it's worth voting for Donald Trump for who he says he'll put on the Supreme Court. You know who Hillary's going to put in. So let's move on with today's show. And I was excited. I'll tell you, it was an experience of a lifetime to be on the floor when the balloons dropped. I was there. And all my life, I've seen it on TV since I was a little kid. And I'll have to tell you, it was phenomenal to me. I'll try to put a clip up on our Facebook page if I can. And I just want to say that was one of the highlights of the week for me, to hear Donald Trump give his acceptance speech and then see the balloon drop and the confetti. And it was really amazing thing. And after that, who'd I run into but Senator Jeff Sessions. He was on the VP short list. He endorsed Donald Trump early on. Some people were saying, are you crazy? And that's what I asked Senator Jeff Sessions. In the background, you hear this as I recorded this. You can hear the balloons popping. I always wonder what to do with all those balloons, but I got a crew that comes in, got little pins on like walking sticks, and they go around popping all the balloons. So as I was talking to Senator Jeff Sessions of Alabama, you can hear the balloons popping in the background. It's a good interview, even if the balloons popping. Take a listen to Senator Jeff Sessions.
Say tonight, after all this work, when you first endorsed Donald Trump, a lot of people thought you might be out of your mind. Now that he's got the nomination, how do you feel?
I think this speech is going to be a powerful incentive to the campaign. I thought it touched on the issues that I endorsed him about to begin with, that nobody's defending the middle America. We have the government is ignoring them. These trade deals are hammering jobs and manufacturing. Immigration is bringing in more workers than we have jobs for, pulling down wages and putting people on welfare who can't get work. So we need to protect our country against terrorists and so forth. So I think that's good.
I think U.S. Senator Jeff Sessions just summed it up good in a nutshell. And wasn't it great to hear all the balloons popping in the background? I like that interview. And now, but I did tell you about the general. That's the importance of getting Donald Trump in the White House is the way this administration has hollowed out the military. It's threatening the Middle East to be even more unstable because of a hollowed out U.S. military and because of the policies of Barack Obama, which will be continued basically a third term with Hillary Clinton in there. So take a listen to Lieutenant General Flynn from the floor of the convention. You hear music and everything in the background, but take a listen to General Flynn.
Donald Trump is fighting for this country. This guy could go and do much different things. But he decided, like I decided, that this country's going in the wrong direction. He decided, I'm going to jump in and I'm going to try to fight for it. So, he got to this level. I mean, look at this is warfare, right? So look at the battles that he won. Look at all of these. I mean, how many did he win? How many debates? How many people did he have to knock off to get here? All, almost 90% of them, political class people. This country is sick of the political correctness and sick of the political class because the people in the federal government, they've become disconnected with the people out in middle America. So Donald Trump, he recognized that well before any of the political class did. And so I think that's why he's been doing so well, to be honest with you. And so this, back to your question, he'll unify the party, but the party also needs to unify behind him. All these, you know, sour pusses out there, right, all these egos that are out there that aren't here tonight and have decided not to show up, you know, too bad for them. I think that shows complete disrespect for a large portion of this country, not for Donald Trump. It shows disrespect for our political system, the way it's supposed to work, and it shows disrespect for millions and millions of people in this country. This is a wake-up call for America, because there is a movement, there is a shift occurring in our country, and the people are going to take this country back, and they're going to do it in the way we're seeing it. And I believe that we're going to see some great changes, some big leadership, some really smart decision-making, some policy that's going to make the rest of the world feel, wow, America really is back. They are, you know, under this guy, these people, they got their stuff together. That's what's going to happen.
That's General Flynn on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Glad we could bring you that. Wow, we got a lot to cover, and this show is moving quickly, but I do want you to hear former Ambassador John Bolton ask him what would happen if Hillary Clinton is elected. What would happen to the state of Israel?
Well, greater threats to the state of Israel and spreading chaos, since her policies would be the third Obama term.
Now, in Congress, also Peter King, Congressman Peter King from New York, has been a stalwart of security for our country. So I ask him basically the same thing. What would it mean for Israel if Hillary Clinton was elected?
Well, Hillary Clinton was part of the Obama administration, which is one of the most anti-Israel administrations in recent memory, maybe the most. Probably the most anti-Israel since Jimmy Carter. And Hillary Clinton has promised to continue Obama's policy. So I would say that Israel will do much better with a Trump administration, and they should be very uncertain about a Clinton administration to deal with Iran, the fact that the constant attacks on Netanyahu, who, whether people agree with him or not, is the elected head of the government. So, no, I would say Israel will do much better with Trump than Clinton.
As you can see, it's security in the world, security in America is so important, and it was touched on in all aspects in the Republican National Convention. Just did not hear that at the Democratic National Convention. Now, one of the things that I do want to finish up, got a little clip from Newt. There was actually a reporter on the floor talking to him, and sort of Newt riled about why, you know, where's the substance? But he had something to say about security and something to say about the mainstream or lamestream media that Doc Holliday's talked about many times here. So take a listen to what Newt had to say on the floor, speaking to another reporter, and I happened to be there and caught the conversation for you, the listeners of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics.
I gave a speech last night that was as definitive and as authoritative on national defense and the war with radical Islamism as you're going to hear. So somehow that doesn't count. Okay?
Well, no, I'm just asking you to respond to folks who say that there's not a lot of policy being discussed. But you got a point.
I suspect by the time they get done with Pence's speech and now with Trump's speech, you go through Pence's speech, you talk about policy after policy.
Perhaps it's disappointing that that's not what the headlines are.
What?
Perhaps is it just disappointing that that's not what the headlines are?
No, it's not. I assume the elite media is the other team's offensive line. I don't expect you guys to ever be fair to us, and I don't expect you to ever give us a break.
Well, I think Newt nailed it when he said, I know you guys talking about the lamestream media. You're the other team's offensive line. They're Hillary Clinton's offensive line. Always. It's not fair, like Newt said, but you can expect it. And it was good to capture that and see Newt standing strong and telling the press just what he thought about him. Hey, we're halfway through the show, and we haven't got to so much, but I do want to tell you, second half of the show, I'm going to tell you what the three highlights for Doc Holliday was, and tell you a little more about being a delegate, being on the floor, seeing people. Got a few more clips to play for you. But before we get into that, let me just remind you, you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. This is a special Republican National Convention wrap-up show. We're glad you're listening to us. You can tell your friends and neighbors about this show and get these exclusive interviews out that Doc Holliday's done on the floor of the Republican National Convention. I'll be telling some more in the second half of what happened. But let me remind you also that Doc Holliday has a book, a new book called Bedrock Truths. And Bedrock Truths is not just my book. It's written by Dr. Alveda King, the niece of Martin Luther King Jr., also Dr. Alex McFarland. So we've put this book together. It's called Bedrock Truths, 8 Uncompromising Principles for America Now. It goes right along with this election. That's one reason we put it together. What are the conservative values that we must stand on? And Alveda King, Dr. Alex McFarland, and Doc Holliday have collaborated, put this book together. You can get it. Go right to the front page of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You'll see the cover, Bedrock Truths. Click onto that. It'll take you to my website. You can order the book. Other books there you can order. That helps keep us on the show. We appreciate you have got the book. You haven't got the book, I ought to order one. Get one now. And get one for your liberal friends. They need one. Okay? And let's get this election won for the Donald. Now, and before we get in the second half of the show, I want you to take a listen to this.
Ooh, I need your love, babe. Guess you know it's true. Hope you need my love, babe. Just like I need you. Oh, hold me, love me, hold me, love me. I ain't got nothing but love, babe.
That was another song played on convention floor. Of course, that was the Beatles, 8 days a week. And they had some foot stomping music going on between the Rolling Stones, the Beatles, other songs. And you had some delegates dancing. Now, I was part of the Mississippi delegation. I looked around. There wasn't a whole lot of dancing going on with Mississippi delegates. But as I told you, I made my way around during some of the breaks, and by golly, if I didn't run into the Washington State delegates with evergreen caps and did a little dancing with the Washington State delegates, and maybe not anything captured on television or cameras. I didn't see anything on YouTube, so hopefully that wasn't captured. Also, the closest thing they had to a mosh pit at the Republican National Convention, and I say that laughing because New York, they were excited. They had, who would have ever thought that a Republican conservative party would nominate a person from New York? But that's Donald Trump, and he had the New York delegation right square in front, right in front of the podium, and the New Yorkers danced a few times. And I saw them up. One time I was walking through, I just had to get up and shake a leg with them. And so Doc Holliday got up there and did some dancing. I also taught some Orthodox Jews how to do a high five while they danced. Our timing's a little off right at first, but we got it down pat, so I hope that's not on film. But I had a good time. I didn't know if I'd get back to a convention. First time I ever went to one, and I enjoyed it, but I was going to make the most of it. And I discovered, like Elvis, if your legs want to shake, rattle, and roll, and you can't dance where you are, then you go dance where you can. And so that's one of the things I found out and had fun doing at the Republican National Convention. Now, I did tell you that I'm going to give you the top 3 highlights of the week. Before I do that, I also tell you one of the things that I enjoyed doing was going around meeting the delegates, and especially I look for the African-American delegates, those from around the country, the black Republicans, and I wanted to ask them, how do you get into the black community and tell them the difference between the conservative values and the socialist liberal values that seem to decimate the African-American communities and the minority communities in the cities? And so I had some good insights. What are those in the following shows and coming weeks? I'll try to give you some of those. But the one thing that so many were excited, that the fact that after 7.5 years of this failed socialism, in many cases, they asked their black friends and the minority districts and say, look around. Can it get any worse? 7.5 years and you're not better off, in many cases worse off as far as take-home pay. So it was enthusiastic to hear the enthusiasm that some of the African-American Republican delegates have, knowing that with Donald Trump, they got a job creator and they got a message they can take to the African-American community here in America that maybe no Republican president candidate has been able to do. So that's one of the things I learned. Now, I will tell you, walking on the floor, I met a Hawaiian delegate. He and his wife, I actually met them before the convention started. And his name is Nathan. He gave the roll call vote for Hawaii. And I'm going to tell you a story about he and his wife a little later. But they would pray for every speaker as the speakers were speaking. They lifted them up in prayer. And I said, well, if you can do that, I can prayer walk. So between the dancing and interviewing, as I made my rounds during the breaks and before the convention and during the convention, I would go around and I'd prayer walk the floor. And I did that every night except for on Wednesday night. I did not get to get on the floor on Wednesday night. I gave someone else my credentials. And so I didn't make it on the floor Wednesday night. So I allowed somebody else to sit in my place. Now, I do want to say the three highlights that for Doc Holliday, these are my personal highlights of the week. Number three would be what I just told you. Meeting delegates from around the country, good, solid Republicans, was one of my favorite things that happened during the week. And I guess I'd put a meeting of delegates is also just, you remember the Republican National Convention is like the Super Bowl of politics. So meeting different news media stars, I guess you could say, walking in Geraldo, Brett Baer, Charles Krauthammer. Everywhere you turn around, there's somebody from Fox News, somebody from like Chris Matthews, Hardball, ran into Chris. I got to shake his hand, said, you know, I don't agree with you, but I like getting a chance to meet you. He grinned and said, well, you know, I don't agree with you either, but everybody here has been very nice to me. So you just being able to be in that atmosphere and meeting people from around the country, that was the number three highlight for me. Number two highlight, what was that? Well, you go back ever since I was a child watching national conventions, Democrat and Republican, with one of the mainstays of the conventions, it's the roll call. So being a part of the roll call, being a part of the Mississippi delegation, and I have to say, our governor, Governor Phil Bryant, what a great governor we have in the state of Mississippi. He led our delegation. He called out the votes for Mississippi as everybody's anticipating Mississippi coming up. They told us to gather around the governor. And it was, to me, that was the second highlight of the convention, is being a part of the role of the roll call of states. And as the governor called out Mississippi's results, it made me proud to be a part of it. And then someone had taken a picture of the roll call vote, and I got captured in a camera shot, and they texted that to me. But that was an exciting thing to be a part of history in a roll call vote. So that was my number two highlight. Number one, what was the grandest thing about the convention? What did Doc Holliday personally really enjoy the most? And that had to be Donald Trump's acceptance speech, and then the balloon drop and confetti drop and the music and everybody celebrating. Now, that was a part that I won't ever forget, being on the floor of the Republican National Convention. Enjoyed that. It was a grand time. Like I said, I may try to post the film of that. I have my iPhone captured that with a video, and we'll try to get that posted on the Rock Splitting Politics Facebook page. But I do want to say those are an exciting three things. It was an exciting week all the way around. Glad to be a part of it. Now, let me tell you, I told you a little bit, meeting Nathan and Judy from Hawaii, and I just wanted to tell you what was unique about them is I found out that they were praying for each speaker, and I said, well, you know, I can prayer walk the floor. So I did that, and before the convention started, and like I said, every night except for Wednesday night when I didn't make it to the floor. But I wanted to be able to be a part of something that maybe nobody else was doing, and maybe some other people were prayer walking. Hope they were. I didn't run into them. But I tell you, one night on Thursday night, that was the night that Donald Trump did his acceptance speech, his last night of convention. The night before, Ted Cruz had spoken, and of course, there was a lot of boos and a lot of tension. And Ted Cruz, I'll just say this, he could have solved all that by adding three words to his speech when he said, vote for your conscience of constitutional candidates who up and down the line. He could have just added, including our nominee. Didn't have to endorse, could have just said, including our nominee, solved a lot of problems, but it is what it is. Now, the following night, like I said, I was talking with some of the Hawaiian delegates, and we were talking about how disappointed what Ted Cruz, the way he handled that when he spoke in front of the convention. And then there's a delegate from another state came up, and I was looking around, and lo and behold, the Texas delegation wasn't far from Hawaii, and there was a Rafael Cruz. Now, that's Ted Cruz's father, and you know I've had him on the show before. And Rafael was standing there, and I saw him, and I looked, and I said, well, there's Rafael Cruz, and Ted's father. And one delegate from another state said, oh, he's a traitor. And I said, whoa, no. Ted Cruz's father is no traitor. If you've heard the story, I mean, Ted Cruz's father, now he was born in Cuba, and he was tortured in Cuba, tortured because he wanted freedom. And I mean, he even tells the story of one morning they had him set to be executed at 8 o'clock in the morning, and through the night they drove him around his neighborhood and see his home and see everything for the last time, they told him. And they had him in Jeep as just a teenager in the Batista regime. And they were told him, you're going to die at 8 o'clock. And then, in the wee hours of the morning, it's still dark, he was in that back of that Jeep, and the soldiers got out of Jeep and took the key and just walked around and had their backs to him. And he had to make a decision. Do I make a run for it right now, or do I face execution at 8 in the morning? And Ted Cruz's father, Rafael, had to decide as a teenager. He had a life decision to make. And he decided to stay in the Jeep because he knew if he took off running, they'd turn around and shoot him. And they said, we shot him while he was escaping. And he decided he would have to stay in the Jeep. And so the soldiers got back in the Jeep, drove him back to the prison, and he figured he's getting ready to be executed. Went up to the prison captain, and there they delivered him papers, said go home, and he was set free to go home under surveillance. And they were wanting him to, you know, to find out who all he was talking to capture other people. But he lived, and so don't call Ted Cruz's father a coward. He knows he's been tortured for freedom. But I say all that just to say that I knew, you know, there's so much tension there. And I said, what can we do? And I asked the Hawaiian delegate, would you pray for him? So they said they would. I went over and said, Pastor Cruz, because he is a pastor. I said, Pastor Cruz, some Hawaiian delegates would like to pray for you. Do you have time? And he said, yes, I'll make time. And he came over, and we gathered around and held hands. And the Hawaiian delegate, Judy, she led us in prayer for America and for Pastor Cruz. And that's, so I just want to tell you that that's some of the things you won't ever see on television or hear stories, but that's what happened at the Republican National Convention, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, a little inside story. Now, I want to play a quick clip from the convention floor with a New York delegate, John Pendergast, who wanted to tell me why he thought New York could go for Donald Trump. And it's very loud, but I'm going to play this clip because you can see the excitement and the music and the loudness when you're on the floor. But take a listen to this New York delegate, John Pendergast.
Here with John Pendergast, a delegate from New York, and he thinks Donald Trump has a chance to beat Hillary Clinton in New York. And tell us why you think that, John.
Well, in the Republican primary, Trump won 61 out of the 62 counties in New York State. Now, there are five boroughs or counties in New York City that are critical. If we could turn any one or part of those, that's New York, King, Queen, and Manhattan. So if we can get any one of those to turn, then he has a very good shot at taking this election.
Now I want you to hear a clip from someone who's famous in New York, Don King, the boxing promoter, his hair standing straight up still. He was surrounded by a lot of people and some reporters right there next to the convention floor, and he was giving them both barrels of why Donald Trump should be elected. And I caught this conversation between him and a couple of other reporters, and I want you to hear it right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. This is sort of end up our show, wrapping it up. So much more I could put in, and this in the following weeks I'll just have to get some more clips played. But I'm glad you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Take a listen to Don King.
Good.
Why should black people vote for Donald Trump?
You voting for a new system. You ain't voting for Donald Trump.
Donald Trump.
No vote. That's what you get out of that. That's another fix in your mind. Listen, you're voting for a new system. You're voting for a new system, and we'll tear the system apart. Not Donald Trump. Donald Trump represents that message of creating a new system. He's going out there. Don't get fooled by the visualization of the color. Because you ain't voting for Donald Trump. You're voting to get yourself to be recognized. And included. You're not included. You're not included.
How is Donald Trump confusing the African American vote? How is Donald Trump confusing the African American vote?
Because I'm going to get it for him.
We got to go now.
How come?
Because he's creating a new system. And the new system is what counts. Nothing else. The system excludes white women and people of color. And so he said we will create a new system, then we're going to be included, because right now we are not included. The white woman or people of color.
Thank you, Mr.
Right now we're
ready. And that's Don King wrapping up Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics convention wrap-up show. And so many clips I like to play. We'll just have to play some in the following weeks. And I do want to say a big thank you for listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Hey, some of the Mississippi delegates that I got to meet for the first time just a couple weeks ago, I want to say thank you for making Mississippi's delegation a great one. Thank you, Governor Phil Bryant, for leading the delegation. Chairman Joe Nassif, thank you for your leadership. Thank you for all the people who put together the Republican National Convention, the delegates I met from all the many different states, and all the people putting together the Republican platform. And now we got our nominee, Donald J. Trump. We'll get behind him with one of the best and strongest conservative platforms the Republicans have ever had. It's time to get out and win one for America. So let's get out there in the streets, in your neighborhoods, and let people know there is a distinct difference between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. And I'll just sum it up with Doc Holliday's original take on a nursery rhyme for this election year. There was a crooked Hillary who married a crooked Bill, and when they get together, they're very crooked still. About her crooked email, she told a crooked lie and sent her crooked husband to block the FBI. If you'd like to kick the crooked Clintons in their crooked rumps, then all you have to do is vote for Donald Trump. All right. Thank you for listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Until next week, God bless you. See you then.
Thanks for joining us today. And remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Bedrock Truths, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen, or visit docholliday.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.